I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at the first chapter of James for a little while. I'm quite amazed at times about people. I hope you don't take this as being critical, but I have always liked looking and watching human activity, and I'm very interested in it because I'm one, and I think sometimes if you can understand others, it'll help you understand yourself a little bit. But it's amazing to me how much people don't see themselves right. And I know that saying is something to consider, because if I say that and everybody in here says, yeah, I know what you mean. Well, you see the circle I'm talking about there, that I obviously have to talk about myself, but I don't really know how to say it, because if I did, then it wouldn't be the saying. And I don't want to confuse anybody, but to say it this way, I was out, told Brother Marcus for service, I was out at Baxter Springs today. Me and my little boy went fishing, and there were some guys came down, and so I started talking to them. We had a good conversation going there, and I ended up mentioning I was from West Virginia, and one of them said, well, I knew you wasn't from Kansas. He said, because of the way you're talking. Well, we laughed about it just a little bit, and be honest with you, he heard it, and I didn't. I couldn't have went back and told you what words I expressed in what way that made him to know something that I didn't know. He knew it. He could have probably, yeah, you said, but I don't hear it, so I don't know. Now, I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but me and Brother Bird was talking after service on Sunday, and I was telling him, now, this one of your children, she looks more like her mother than she looks like you, but this one looks more like you than she does her mother, I think. And I was going through them, and he says, I don't know. I don't see any of it. Now, that's pretty amazing to me, Brother John, because to me, I can see the characteristics that's so hard for him to see himself, and we probably all realize that that's true. But I'm going to tell you, it's important to see yourself. It's really important, and the burden that I've had of this meeting is that we not forget. But it's very likely that we do. There's times that we do. There's things that we do because we're human. You know, there's nobody else like me in the world. You may say, oh, I think somebody looked like, he ain't nothing like me. There's nobody like you. Nobody else is like you. And you're an individual. And it's important that you know who you are. It takes honesty. I think one of the first ingredients is the willingness to say, I don't know myself. I think that every one of us would say, I think I know myself. I know things about me that you don't know. But there is so much that escapes me because of me being me. I don't see it. And I'll use a few illustrations here both ways. It's biblical. There was people in the scriptures that didn't know themselves. Peter, for instance. The Lord told him. It wasn't like me telling him. The one that done the miracles. The one that pierced their very being with his eye. Saw everything. Told Peter, you're going to deny me. And he argued with him. I think Peter was totally sincere about what he meant. I think at the time that he said that, he had such deep feelings and passions about what he thought he could do, that he told the Lord, no, the rest of them, they may, but me, I will never forsake you. The scripture had already said, I mean, there's a prophecy that said he would tread the winepress alone. What he had to do, he was going to do it by himself. Peter thought he had the power and strength to do it. He thought he knew himself. Peter did not know himself enough to know what he would do in that situation. And I'm going to tell you, we don't either. Without God, I'm saying. That's why our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Because you can think you have the fortitude, power, the strength. You think you can go all those things. You may be very surprised about yourself. There was others. You remember a man in the Bible that just speaks. I mean, let me run. I'm a good runner. Let me run. Like there was importance in his running. There was some value in his running. Finally, said run. Go ahead and run. But he left something. He didn't have the message. He didn't have the message. To him it was important and all that. And there's many, many people that have missions and desires and all that. And they forget that they're supposed to have a gift. You know, I've got this. I want to do this. I want to preach. I want to do something for God. Great ambitions, great desires. And feel like they have a gift that they're the only one to think they have it. They're the only one that sees it. They think there's a great benefit in it, but there's no benefit in it. But they don't really see themselves. Those are just a couple examples. There was other examples to where people saw themselves. David said, I was conceived in iniquity. I was conceived in iniquity, and in sin did my mother form me. There was a truth about that. When he come to the realization, when men see God, get close to God, when they're looking to God, they start seeing themselves. David started dealing with God. He started seeing himself. I was shapen, he said. That's what the word was. I was shapen in iniquity. He saw himself. You remember the time that two men came up to the temple to pray? And one man said, oh, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are. Even this publican standing there, I'm thankful I'm not like him. Well, I fast. I give alms. I do all these things. You know, he didn't know himself. But the other guy did. The other one said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. When Isaiah comes into the contact with the Lord, he simply says, holy, holy, holy. That's how he responded. Coming close to the Lord, he said, I am a man of a sinful lips. I'm of a nation of sinful people. He saw who he was when he came into the presence of God. It reveals, it enlightens. Paul said, I was chief of sinners. How did he get the opinion that he was the chief of sinners? Come in contact with God. That's how he did it. When he was on the road to Damascus, he thought he was right. He thought he was of God. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he knew himself and it was all virtuous and right. And the Lord stopped him. And he fell down as dead. He saw himself. He saw himself as a murderer. He saw himself as a rebellion against God. He saw himself. And then he was able to testify when he saw himself. He didn't brag that I've sit at the feet of the greatest teachers. He didn't brag about that anymore. He thought at one time that the value of who he was and what he was. After he met the Lord, he said, I count it all as a loss. I count it as dung. Now, he got to that kind of place. So let's read this scripture in James, first chapter, 1 and 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness of superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Several years ago, I was driving along and I was listening to National Public Radio, and they had a little dealy on there, and was talking about a man named Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan was a very famous man. He was a basketball player, and arguably, about those kind of things, many would argue that he was the greatest basketball player ever played basketball. Won 6 titles. Won many, many awards. He made an out. It was outstanding. Well, after that accomplishment, he always had love for a baseball to play baseball. So he quit playing basketball, and he went to a minor league team and going to work his way up and be. He was going to be a baseball player. Well, that was a big deal, and. You asked Michael Jordan, and he said, I can do it. I've accomplished basketball, all the awards, all the championships, all that you could do. I've accomplished it. Now I'm going to be a baseball player. And to his mind, there was nothing to stop him. He had the capability, all the ability, he could do it, and he could do it. He thought, he saw himself that he could do it. So there was a question. Do you think that he can do it? So they went around and they asked bunches of these professional athletes. They asked him, do you think that he can accomplish this to the man? They said, no. Great athlete, no doubt. Great basketball player. But baseball isn't basketball. It's a different sport. Takes different skills. At his age and position, no. He'll never be able to climb the ladder and be able to do it. Do you know that those men were right, every one of them? 100% of them. 100% of them said, no, he can't, and he didn't. They were all right. But in turn, before they quit, they asked each man in turn, do you think you could excel in another professional sport? Now, these all were professionals. And to a man, they, every one of them said, yes. They all was able to look at Michael Jordan and assess accurately why he couldn't do it. But none of them saw themselves with the same weaknesses that they saw him with. They all saw themselves in the dream. Understand what I'm saying? The dream. The expectation of themselves. They saw themselves so much better, greater, stronger, faster, better eye coordination, hand coordination. They saw themselves better than they saw the greatest basketball player that ever lived. If I named you the men's names that did that, you would have never heard it, and you probably heard Michael Jordan's name, but you would know these other men. They never acquired the same status, but they all thought that they could do it because they didn't have the ability to see themselves. And I want to say to us in the fear of God tonight, I hope it sneaks in, you're the same way. And I'm the same way too. So where are we at here? You mean, is it possible that I deceive myself? Is it possible that there's things about me that is a detriment to me that would ruin my life, ruin others around me to do this? Is it possible that I could go through life and think I'm right and everybody else is wrong? I got the thing down. I'm the smartest. I'm the best. I understand more than anybody else does. I'm the one. I see it right. And everybody else is seeing it wrong in some way or another, or seeing things that's not true. I marvel at this because, like I said, I know that I have it. And if I could state it out tonight, I could stay it out. There's only one way for me to go then. I have to go to the one that knows it. You have to go. Oh, you could come and ask me. Don't. But you could come and ask me, what do you think? If I was close enough to you, maybe I could say a few things about you. I can't say why. I may say, I see this, but I don't know why. I don't really know what it is. I won't be very accurate with it either, but I might be able to come up with some kind of a thing and say something about it. But you won't believe me. Just understand what I'm saying. You won't believe me. You young people probably won't believe your parents. You wouldn't believe your husband. Husbands won't believe their wives. There has to be something more. If it's serious enough, and if the issue is enough, there is one that knows. And there is a way that he brings it. And the scripture is talking about that. That the Lord has the ability. And you know, the Lord can by his spirit influence you. And the Lord can inspire you with those kind of things. We're going to look at it different because we're dealing with the Word of God here. It's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is designed, is spoken to know men. It will reveal you. I'm not talking about outwardly, I'm talking about inwardly. It will reveal you of you. It will. It'll bring out who you are. It will divulge the difference between your personality and your character. It will make you to know your character. Because you as a human and me as a human will usually soft pedal and soft it over. And if every man's way is right in his own eyes, and I'm one, I'm a man. And it's right in my own eyes. If it wasn't, to change it. Because I'd make it right in my own eyes. I do it to be right in my own eyes. But God sees it. And the Word of God has the ability to uncover all the way down to the root.
That's right.
As was said, you know, by John the Baptist is talking about, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. There's a time coming that you're not going to sweep at the leaves and knock the limbs off now. You're going to lay it at the root of the thing. Get down to the basic problems of it. There is people that get along with no one and think it's everyone else's fault. And never have the ability to see themselves for themselves. Why is it this way? But the Word of God is able to show us ourselves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. For he beholdeth himself. This is quite a very simple illustration that James is saying. Hearing the Word of God is like a man looking at himself in a glass. He looks, beholds. I'm going to tell you something. When I look into a mirror at myself, I know there are some that distort, but I'm going to tell you, they're truthful. Now, I hope my wife don't mind this, but she said one time recently, I hate that mirror. Well, some mirrors can be distorting a little, you know what I'm saying? She said, I hate that mirror. You look fat in that mirror. That's what she said. I'll leave that there, but you're getting the point. There's something with the mirror. When I look into a mirror, to me, they're brutally honest. The only difference it is things is left and right, right? I mean, when I look at the guy in the mirror, his left eye is the right eye. I mean, he's turned in that mirror. It's a little distortion here, but it'll show you. Now, this is what this is like. You look into a mirror and you see. Now, whether you like what you see or not is not the important thing. The important thing is that there's things there that you can't change. But there is things that you can. You can't change who God made you to be. You can't. You can't change If you wasn't made a certain way, you can't. You may say, I'd like to be like Brother Marty. Forget it. I want to be like something, Brother. No. God didn't make me to sing. I'm sorry. I don't hear music. I don't sing music well. God didn't make. He made something different than that. I can say, I want that. And there's nothing wrong with me wanting that. But I can't make myself be that. But you know, when I look into the mirror and I look and I've been out working and doing this and I got a big smudge. I was fooling with something recently. I didn't notice it was we fried some fish and the outside of the pan had got, the flame wasn't burning good and blue and it was, you know how they smoke up and get real dark, black on there, and I got the pot and took it in and I didn't notice I had this black on my face, wasn't a little bit, not noticing it, whatever you're gonna, and I can go and look in the mirror and say, oh, look at, I got smudges on my face. Now I can't change what it looked like, but I can wash my face. I can wash my face. If I look in the mirror and I say, oh, I got a day's growth here and I don't want to look like that, I don't think I want to make that appearance, that's not what's pleasing me and I don't think it pleases, then I can go and I can change that. There's things I can change. That's what he was like in this too. The Word of God is penetrating. It's revealing. It will show you who you are. The Word of God will show you who you are. Are you a kind person? Are you a gentle person? Are you a loving person? Humble person? Are you that? The Word of God will come and touch those elements. Touch those elements and show you your spiritual face. It won't change your gifts. You say, I want another gift. It won't do that. You can't alter what can't be altered. But you can look into the mirror and see things that you can change. But the Scripture says, what people do, not doing it. You know, I'm going to wash that off my face one of these days. Go away. Not looking in the mirror, not being reminded. I forget I got something on my face. I don't really understand that I got something on my face. Now, again, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I like these little stories to bring an illustration. Darius, my son, was blowing big bubbles one day. And he blew great big bubbles, and they pop and go on his face. So they stuck on his face. You know, that pink bubble gum wasn't too noticeable until they got out and done some stuff and the dirt kind of stuck with where the little bit of bubble gum was. And this is my point. He didn't know it. There's no way to see yourself until you look in a mirror. And God knows what the imperfections are. And He'll come and show us our imperfections. But folks, there's a place for us to play. We got to be willing. Honest with ourselves. So the Word of God comes. Lord help me. I don't know how much to say, but just say. I've known times that the Word of God came to try to penetrate the heart of proud people. And when it's all said and done, the altar's lined with humble people. They don't line with proud ones. The one that needs the message is the ones that stand up and say how much people needed it. Because they wasn't honest enough to receive the Word of God into their life. Lord, help me. Lord, shine that on me. What do I think about my experience? The more spiritual you become, the more humble you become with it. The more lacking you become with your spirituality. The more the need of God you feel with your spirituality. Not the bigger you get. The stronger you feel, the less you feel. Brother Jim White told us at home. Brother Mark might remember this. But he said, when he come back from the war, when the Lord started to deal with him, he said, I got saved when the Lord showed me who I was. How he had a hard temper, a hateful, mean, despicable man. He said, when God showed me the level of how nasty I was, He convicted me. And I got saved. Because He was honest enough to say, Lord, that's me. That's me. And then everybody else is me. That's me being ugly. That ain't all my wife's fault. That's me being that way. That's me driving people to be that way. Yes, that's me. He had to say, Lord, it's me. We behold ourselves, our natural face in a glass. For He beholdeth Himself and goeth His way. And straightway, He forgetteth what manner of man. If He wasn't a doer, if He didn't jump on the opportunity, on the case, on the time. This is what He's like. He's like someone that was told and sat there and taught and that, but they went their own way. I know you all know this story, but there was a famous story of a great ship that they built. Great ship. The greatest of all ships have been built. It cannot be sunk. Don't have to worry about hitting icebergs because this ship can't go. The way it was designed and made, can't go down. On its maiden voyage. Maiden voyage. One trip. I've heard this story, and they said the people, the ones who was on it, was warned. Icebergs in the area. Don't need to tell me about icebergs. Because I'm on a ship that can't be sunk. You ever feel like your ship can't be sunk? The Scripture says, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he falls. That Scripture is talking about people that have fought the battles, had their prayers answered, has seen the glory of God in their life, have experienced the hand of God. That's who that's talking about. Because he thinks he stands. We need to behold ourselves. Always in the glass. Always in God's Word. That speaks to us about what we are and what we should be. When it says things like being gentle, kind, when we can, I am. I don't hear myself talking like a West Virginian. It's everybody else that sounds funny. Maybe I don't see myself being as gentle as I should be. Let me read you what Adam Clark said about this scripture. The doctrines of God faithfully preached are a mirror. He who hears cannot help discovering his own deformity, his lackness, the place to where he had become dysfunctional because of sin. Sin has caused us all to have some dysfunction. You're a product tonight. Did you know that? You're a product. You're a product of two people. I say modern terms, genetically. You are a product of two people. You are also a product of an environment that you grew up in. Now, if you want to sit in a conversation with me and Brother Mark sometimes, we won't talk too long before we start flinging arrows at some deer because he was raised up there like that and I was raised up there like that. And naturally, we know who we are in that sense, and we'll fish a little and we'll hunt a little and we'll throw a few horseshoes together because we have similar backgrounds with that. We're products. There's some in here that was the product of cities, of other countries, of other places, of other ways of life. There's been people in here that may have grown up in the church under extreme hypocrisy. You may be a product of someone that grew up in the church under a very holy position. I mean, the parents may have been very devout. You may have grew up under that. You may have grew up under the situation to one was devout and the other was a hypocrite. One may have been one thing, but it may have been another. You may have been all kind of situations that you may have grown up in that influenced the way you look and see at things that other people see some of the dysfunction that you never see because you're just a product of these things. And you don't know it. I don't know it. We don't know what causes us that besetting sin that we can't seem to get over that seems to dominate certain parts of us. Oh, but God knows. And He designed a word that touches those kind of things in our life. If we'll be honest, God speaks to that. Like looking into a mirror, being honest, looking into that mirror and saying, Morty Clevenger, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of that deformity. I'm tired of the smudge on your face. I'm tired of the rough look. Lord, help me to clean myself up. Help me to go away and not be soon forget what I've heard. There is people, and I hope you don't take it as critical, but I'm going to be as forth with this word that I can. There is people that's lived saved church-going experience for 50 years. It still has smudges on their face. Still has definite places in their life that has hurt their experience, hurt the experience of other people, and has been a detriment to them in their life. The Word of God always there as a mirror to look into and say, do I measure? Do I see? Do I look like I'm supposed to look? Okay, he who hears cannot help discovering his own deformity. This is on the authority of Adam Clark. He sorrows and purposes amendment. Right? He sorrows for the deformity. He purposes not to fall into that anymore, not to look like that anymore. He purposes a better view to amend those things. But when the preaching is over, the mirror is removed. And not being careful to examine the records of his salvation, the perfect law of liberty, or not continuing to look therein, he soon forgets what manner of man he was. Now listen. Or supposing some unscriptural trust in God's mercy. I'm going to read that again. I know. We need to hear this. Or supposing some unscriptural trust in God's mercy. He overlooks it. He knows my failures. All true. But he says an unscriptural trust in God's mercy, as if God will not impute this to me because of His great mercy. He reasons himself out of the necessity to repentance and amendment of life, and thus deceives his soul. Tragedy. Tragic end. God giving us something to look into. Thank God for it tonight. I don't know how many would want to change their natural features if they could. But you can't anyway. Oh, some surgeries might do it, but you know, eventually it wouldn't matter anyway. But you want to change things in you that's wrong? Do you find yourself dysfunctional in the relationships of your life? Are you dysfunctional? You know what I mean. I can't cope with people. I can't cope with the relationships. I can't cope with the things around me. Find that kind of a place. Lord, help me. Why am I this way? Help me to see, Lord, what it is. For he beholdeth himself and go his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Don't, it's not a stopping, it's a continuing therein. At any point and place in the experience of God, I believe that if you stop growing, you stop going. It's a continuation. We meet new challenges every day, and we conquer some things, we reconquer. We conquer some, we reconquer. You've got to keep going. It's a continuation, and he says that they continue therein, and him, and being naughty, forgetful here. And again, the burden of this meeting to me has been, the Lord put the burden there, that we're so forgetful. We are so forgetful about such meaningful things. Has anybody in here just ever went to the altar and just consecrated themselves to God? You ever had one of those experiences that you just felt like, I've just got to pour myself out to God? Yeah, pour yourself out. Yes. You ever go and do it again? Yes. You ever live life and things and you go and do it again? I think most people would say, yeah, I've had that experience. Then I've had it again. Then things happen, I had it again. It's a continuation to not be a forgetful hearer. I looked into that and saw me just as plain as I could be. I was praying about something one time. Oh, something I was upset about. You know, you just as well tell the Lord things, even though it wouldn't be something you'd want to tell publicly. You just as well tell the Lord. I thought somebody had done something that was wrong. I thought they were just wrong in the way they was being. So I went and told the Lord they was wrong. You know, Lord told me right there in prayer. He said, you're the same way. Now I heard, I mean, the Lord said, you're the same way. And I said, I'm not. That's why I'm not. I was just like Peter arguing with the Lord. I'm not that way. You know, the Lord revealed to me in a place in my life that I was doing exactly what I was so bitter over. You know what I did? I prayed for me and them both. I was the same person. Not able to see it on my own. But you know, God can see all, God knows who you are. I would be willing that most conflicts that are made are just that way. Most complex, if you could pull the veil back and see the whole picture. Yeah. Lord, have mercy. Yes. You mean I've been that carnal on this thing? You mean I've been that unchristlike in this whole thing? There was another time I was facing an issue. And I remember right where I was at when I was really dealing with it. And I had been reading all these, this material of these times gone by, saints of yore, these good saints that done these just such noble things, and how they was misused and had grace to stand up, all those kind of things. And anyway, I was in this situation and I come to the conclusion. This is what I'm going to do. This is what's right to do. And I felt good about it. Got it figured out. This is just what I'll do. But you know, the Lord can talk to you. So the Lord brought it to me this way. Now, if you was to write your story, you write that the way the Lord come to me and said it. You write that in your mind in a story that you would want to glorify Jesus with. And you know when the Lord brought that thought to me, I wrote my story. It wasn't very edifying. It did not take the high road. Well, I ain't going to say it took the lowest of roads. But I had been reading about men and women that had grace and took the high roads in life. And I thought I was on a high road. Until the Lord said, write your story the way you'd want it printed to the saints. As a future mark for your children. For a future to read this book of yours and how you responded in this situation. I repented. I repented. I said, Lord, I had it all wrong. I made my decision out of my humanity, out of my carnality. I made my decision based on the experiences of my life, my background, my culture, my upbringing, my genetics. I made my decision by my humanity. When God came and talked to me, made it by His. So, no more problems from here on out. Now, that's been 13 years ago. No more problems then from here on out. A forgetful hearer. Forgetting the lessons, not continuing on. Not continuing on with that kind of before I make decisions. Not going to make them by my humanity. I'm going to testify to you. There is value in just confessing your faults. Where God says it. So I'm going to confess it. I've done the same thing again. I've been guilty of saying things and having to go back and say, you know what? That was Marty saying that. And when the Lord come and told me it was not that way, I had to turn around and say, I repent, Lord. I had the wrong view about that. I got to say it. It wasn't the right way. Because I had forgotten. Don't be a forgetful hearer. You know, God, these things are eternal. What the God said, it holds. There was a young girl one time told me, well, she had told me that the Lord had convicted her of smoking. So she quit smoking. Well, then sometime later I come and she was smoking. Well, she was somebody I could do this to without offense. So I, what are you doing? Oh, I'm smoking. You think that's right? Yeah. Well, what, did he change his mind? I forgot. It didn't continue on. Don't you think you can't deceive yourself? You can deceive yourself. You can forget and deceive your own self. You can see yourself as that sinner that Brother Jim saw himself as, and then you can turn around and go away and think you're as right as you can be in everything you do. Yes, you can. There's only one remedy to all of this, and it's continuing on in the perfect law of liberty. It's going on in the perfect Word of God that's able to uncover these things for us in our life. It's not being a forgetful hearer, but continuing on with it and keep going. It's basically the same message as last night. It's adding to these things that keeps us going. We don't want to lose anybody else. We don't want the devil taking any more of us. What are we going to do? We're not going to be forgetful hearers of what God has said. I'm going to tell you, God has said some things to me. Oh, how to say it right. I struggle sometimes wishing he had said it. In my humanity. Because I don't forget that he said it. I don't forget that he said it. God has done this. How am I going to go back on it? How am I going to testify that God done this? God convicted me. God set this up. And how am I going to be able to convince myself? How am I going to be able to convince that God didn't say it? Well, I can't easy. Just be a forgetful hearer. You'll believe what you want to believe. Your experience will fade into the shadows I'm talking about genuine experiences, and God can fade into the shadows when you're a forgetful hearer. But when kept alive, those testimonies will be just as alive today as they was when they happened. Not forgetting to be a doer of the word. Have you ever noticed in our assemblies how the older saints, the good older saints, will recall great works of God 60 years ago? Brother Bailey McMillan, when he was alive, he had served the Lord since he was about 18 years old, he said. He told me. 60 years at one point, he told me he had served the Lord faithfully. And he would go back years and tell of the great things God had done. He didn't forget. I think Sister Margaret Eck's book was titled, Lest We Forget. Forget what? The works of God. We say sometimes, what? I'm going to embarrass somebody else now. My sister calls me up one time. I got two sisters, so you wouldn't know which one. My sister calls me up one time and says, Marty, the Lord has performed the greatest miracle. Ha! Oh boy. And I have to think, now, I'm going to think about this. The Red Sea splits. That's notable. The Lord fed 5,000 people with a couple of fishes and a little bit of bread. That's notable. In the scripture, the greatest miracle was when, in the day of Joshua, wasn't it, that the sun stood still? Now that's dealing with the universe. In the scripture, said there was never anything like it before or after. That was tops and probably in the scripture, according to the scripture. There's a lot of miracles. So I'm thinking, what is the greatest miracle? Boy, what happened? What happened? The greatest miracle. What happened? She said, the Lord's changed me. The Lord's changed me. The greatest miracle. I was a certain way. I was praying. I kept being that way. And the opportunity come that I would normally wouldn't have been that way. Or I would have been that way. I wasn't that way. Greatest miracle. Now, can you forget that? You forget. And now you're like that again? I had a young guy tell me one time, said, I wrestled and wrestled. Said, I thought the Lord was convicting me against this worldly music that I was listening to. But I just couldn't get the victory. And he said, you know what I learned? It wasn't God doing it. He said, it was just me doing it. So I don't have to do it now? What's the solution to that? I'm going to forget. No, brother, the Lord convicting you of something, it's your fault, not His. There's grace. There's something that the Lord's drawing you to. Well, we'll finish with this. For He beholdeth Himself and goeth His way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man He was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. My encouragement to you is, testify as often as you can. Testify your experience. When the devil says they've already heard it, you just tell it, call him a liar and tell it, say, I'm going to tell it again. Tell your experiences. Tell it to others. Find somebody else to tell it to. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your family. Tell your experience of what God's done for you. Tell God how God has changed your life. Testify about God. Be a doer. Don't be a forgetful hearer of it. But live it as a matter of life. A course of life. I happen to have a platform. Obviously. do this as my calling, so I have a platform to be able to say to you the miracles, and you'll hear it if you hear me preach. You'll hear me telling about the time that God miraculously healed my son, miraculously healed my daughter, blessed me and my wife. I mean, you'll hear these as a matter of course. They enforce my experience. It reminds me, sometimes the Lord blesses me during it that I wasn't thought about it before, and I sat down with the encouragement, God helped me. And I don't want to forget it. We had a brother at home told me when he was a little boy, he was walking the rail, I believe, at the chapel. There was a two-rail fence at the chapel. After service, he was up there walking it. And he fell off of it and broke his arm. Slick, right there. They said they grabbed him. He was just a little boy. They grabbed him and took him into the chapel. Brother Sammons laid hands on him at the altar there and prayed for him. And he said, this is his testimony, he said, looking right at me, almost teary-eyed, he said, I opened, when we left that night, I opened the car door with that hand. And I said, lest we forget. Yes. Lest we forget. It's not like it used to be. It's different than it used to be. We struggle with these things. Lest I forget of what God has spoken to my heart. What God has done for me. Folks, living for God is a personal experience between you and the Lord. We come collectively as a body of people that know the Lord. That's what makes the congregation, what makes the church. As the Lord puts it in, as such as to be saved. That's who makes the church. But it isn't a personal experience between you and Christ Himself. Don't try to live it for me. Live it for Christ. My influences won't go very far. You got to live it for Christ, then it's good all the time. The convictions, let it be the convictions that He brings to your life. In closing, went somewhere, was up in Indiana one time, brother there, told me a story. He said there was a congregation of people, just like you all, he said, just like us. The way they dressed, the way they believed, the way the women wore their hair, the dresses that they wore, the whole thing. Very, very holiness look to them. So they come to a time that there was some dissension about those kind of things, so the elders of the church met together. If there's any inaccuracies in this story, I'll tell you what the brother told me. He said the elders got together, and after much discussion, they decided that that kind of life was not necessary in the pursuit of God. And so they announced it to the congregation that way. It is no longer necessary for that kind of life. And he told me, he said, Brother Marty, they changed the next day. The whole congregation changed the next day. The women cut their hairs off. They went and got jeans and pants, and they changed. They totally changed at the word of men. You know what? By the grace of God, that's not my conviction, folks. If it come down to just me and Jesus, what you see here is what you get. Because what I got is not based on it. It's not based on men's opinions. It's based on what the Lord has brought conviction to my soul with. What's right. A while back, there was a discussion about whether TV should be in the homes and those kind of things. And you know what I said? It makes this much difference what the conclusion is. I don't want it. I wouldn't have it. I love the way God's got my life set. It's my conviction. Whatever you say, you'll say it to yourself. Won't change me a bit. And if someone wants to come and try to say we shouldn't be different, you know what I really believe in this body? I believe the next day, I believe you'd look just like you look now. I do believe that. I believe it would be, let's pray for them men that they get a vision. Let's not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the word. Amen.